Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 307 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 27th of September 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Also, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jen, and myself, Andrew. And sitting in with us today, we have Keith Tier, Daryl, and Bryce. And our special guest is Steve Davis from boringadelaide.com.au. How are you, Brad?
I'm going good, man. How are you going?
Very well, buddy. Very well. It's a beautiful spring day again here in Melbourne, and it's grand final day today, the big football game, the big one for the year.
Yeah, it is indeed, mate. And what have you been up to during the week? Anything exciting? Or?
Oh, look, there's been a few things, actually. Yeah, a few bits and pieces. Got a really good opportunity today to do something new, which is exciting. So I'll let you know more in the coming weeks on that one. But other than that, Miles has just had a really hard week sleeping. So haven't had too many hours of sleep this week, I'm pushing through.
Okay. All right, we've got Jennifer back on. Welcome back, Jen.
Thank you. Great to be back. And, have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been good. How have you been?
I have been really busy. It's been a fantastic week, a long week, and I'm happy for that the weekend is here. So,
yep. Do you follow any of the AFL at all, Jen? I know you follow music that over here, but do you follow any Australian sports?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I've been pretty much all into the NFL here because we just started our NFL season 3 weeks ago and going on our fourth week now. So it's been, I've been all about that.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. We got Bryce back on. Welcome, Bryce.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
Good, mate, and you?
Yeah, I'm going well.
What have you been up to, mate?
Not much, same old. I'm still trying to get a hold of the 6 Plus, but I'm kind of thinking twice about it now.
Oh, yeah, mate,
don't. Complaining.
Yeah. I'll talk about that in a minute, because I want to get your view on that. Also, we got Keith back on. Welcome, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And how's your phone going, mate?
My phone is doing great business.
Good stuff.
We launched a new version of Chat Center on it as well. So
nice.
It's buzzing every 3 seconds with chats.
Cool. Good stuff. We got Daryl on. Welcome, Daryl.
G'day, Brad. Great to be back.
Good to have you on, mate. And have you got the new iPhone yet?
No, I missed out on the initial one because, unfortunately, Telstra didn't notify me when pre-orders opened. So, but I'm actually glad because I think I would have rushed in and bought the 6 Plus.
Okay.
And after seeing various reviews, now I'm more inclined to go with the 6.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Also, we've got Steve on. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I don't know. Nothing new. Of course, my website I've been working on for the second week, it's been up. Of course, we did add a section for the tech webcast. So anybody interested in what's coming up, the guests next week and things
nice
like
one.
That can also look it on my website.
Good stuff. And also we got Steve from Boring Adelaide podcast.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Steve. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Okay. Good stuff, mate. Good to have you on, and we'll have a chat to you soon about what you do.
Looking forward to it.
And yeah. Okay, Jen, let's go to some news, then we'll come back and have a chat.
Sounds great.
Okay, here we go.
In the Tech Webcast news tonight, coming from CNET.com, this story is about Elo. I don't know if you've all heard about this, but Elo is the new social network that is taking geeks by storm. And as you settle into this social network or wait for your invitation, we have some information that talks about Elo's ad-free promise and why people are flocking to this new social network. So if you haven't heard of it, it is an invite-only at this point social network and is garnering attention for its radical approach to social networking. It is seeing 35,000 hourly signups, and people are willing to join yet another social network. Why? Well, it's the anti-Facebook, and it has no problem stating that. It is a bare-bones, ad-free, minimalist social network, and it was designed in response to the many controversial Facebook policies, and especially the ones that force users to display their real names. So let me read just a quick thing from Elo itself. It's their manifesto, and they say, quote, "Your social network is owned by advertisers. Every post you share, every friend you make, every link you follow is tracked, recorded, and converted into data. Advertisers buy your data so they can show you more ads. You are the product that's bought and sold. We believe there's a better way. We believe in audacity. We believe in beauty, simplicity, and transparency. We believe that the people who make things and the people who use them should be in partnership. We believe a social network can be a tool for empowerment, not a tool to deceive, coerce, and manipulate, but a place to connect, create, and celebrate life. You are not the product." So they are completely ad-free, and they're putting privacy first, which is making this network even more sought out by individuals that are looking to get on board. And when you look at Elo, it doesn't, you might not think it looks too much different than the other social networks, but, you know, because it doesn't really go out of its way to use innovative approaches to organize your friends or discover new content, but it is just truly a bare-bones, clean experience. So if you haven't gotten an invitation yet or you're interested in getting one, check it out. Go to their website. I think there's a lot of people right now that have invitations, and hopefully someone can hook you up with them with one, or hopefully they'll come out of beta soon. So, hello. And you know what's terrible is that my browser just locked up here, and my next story is not coming up. Let me see if I can go to another one. Here we go. Here's one on the iPhone 6. So, I'm sorry, just the iPhone rather. So Apple rather released an iOS update, and it's saying that it is going to fix new phone problems. I have to apologize, Brad. My browser has completely locked up and I cannot read the story I'm on. Let me see if I can open up a new browser. This is live, guys.
Maybe try a new window, Jen.
I am. I'm doing just an entire new browser to see if I can pull it up. And it's I don't know what's going on. I clearly am on the internet because I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah,
so,
you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go. It's back up.
Okay,
everything's
cool.
Back up now. Here we go. Alrighty. Sorry about that, guys. So anyway, so Apple just released a new update. Now, as you know, a couple of days ago, it had released an update called iOS 8.0.1 that had a connectivity issue that caused dropped calls on cellular networks, and it pretty much bricked people's phones. That update was pulled within 90 minutes, and a new update has been released. It is iOS 8.0.2, and it fixes connectivity issues. It repairs a bug that worked with the HealthKit apps, and it is now available for download. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, check it out. And there is a list of bug fixes, and you definitely want to get this, especially if you have the new iPhone 6 or 6 Plus. And staying with the Apple news, iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, you know, you have heard about the bending complaints about the iPhone 6 Plus, but the interesting thing is that they're saying that that number is actually less than 10. So Apple responded to the various reports about the 6 Plus bending, saying that it is extremely rare and that, in fact, only 9 people out of all the customers that bought the devices thus far have complained. So that would presumably mean that 9 out of, well, over 10 million that have been sold thus far are the only ones that have this issue. Now, of course, there might be some other people that have the issue but haven't made it to the Apple store yet, or maybe Apple's not reporting it. But according to exactly what they have reported, only 9 people right now are complaining about the BendGate issue. And moving on, this is pretty cool. I don't know if you all have ever had the issue where when you have multiple tabs open, like right now I have about 10 tabs open or more, and sometimes a video will play in the background. All of a sudden there'll be some music going on and I'll be like, what is this? You know, I don't know which tab it's on. It's just horrible. Well, fret not. Now there is an option, or a tool rather, that will automatically mute your background tabs in Chrome. It is a Chrome extension, and it is called Mute Inactive Tabs in the Chrome Web Store. So just head on over to the Chrome Web Store, click on or do a search for Mute Inactive Tabs, install it, and you will be good to go, and you will never have that issue again where sound just randomly appears from background tabs. And moving on, the next story coming from Reuters.com about Alibaba. Now, the Alibaba IPO ranks as the world's biggest after additional shares have been sold. Alibaba's initial public offering now ranks at $25 billion, netting underwriters of the sale of more than $300 million windfall after the e-commerce giant and some shareholders parted with additional shares. So it's quite a big deal. Alibaba, the largest one to date. Also in the news, coming from news.com.au, Samsung is bringing the Note 4 and the Note Edge smartphones in Australia. So less than just a week, actually it's been a little bit over a week now, I guess, that Apple, or actually right at a week, that Apple launched their new iPhones. Samsung has countered with an Australian launch for 2 phablets, the Note 4 and the Note Edge. And they will go on sale in Australia late in October or early November. So keep a lookout for that. The price is going to be less expensive than Apple, with the Note 4 selling for $50 less than the iPhone 6, and the Edge matching the Apple's 128-gigabyte phablet at $1,249. Moving on, next story coming from tvtonight.com.au, TPG. It's an internet service provider. They will step up its IPTV service early next year in an increasingly competitive landscape. And to quote them, TPG has been doing IPTV for more than 5 years now on our network using multicast technology, and we have been underlying the infrastructure to do it. That is what Craig Levy told Fairfax Media. So take a look for that. Right now, TPG has 748,000 subscribers, and they are not saying what kind of premium content it has acquired or talk about. They have not spoken about launch prices yet, but keep on the lookout for that. And that is the news, Brad.
And there was
did
one,
I leave anything out?
Yeah, and there was one more, Jen, about the mafia thing.
Oh, where is that?
The number one. It's
my apologies. Oh, I do not see it in there for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. It's the first one.
Yeah.
I got it. Here we go. Okay. Filmmaker. This is from Gothamist.com. Filmmaker discusses iPhone 6 lines in the Chinese mafia. So there was a video that was featured about the insane lines around New York City for the new iPhone launch this week, or last week rather. And in the video, there's a filmmaker, his name is Casey Neistat, and he focused on large amounts of elderly Asians who waited in the front lines to snag the first iPhones and then promptly sell them. So they spoke with him, and he explained why he thinks that this was an organized effort to resell iPhones. The documentary is fascinating. You should definitely take a look at the videos if you haven't. They're just very, very interesting. And he had said that he had been thinking about this since last year when he documented the iPhone 5S launch. And there's one scene where there's a person asleep inside a plastic bag, and it occurred to him that making the movie that a lot of people in line are not there for the product, or I'm sorry, are not there for the product themselves. So this really unveiled the underground market for selling, for people standing in line and selling the iPhone 6 phones. And that is the news. Sorry that I missed that last story. I think it's because of my browser issue. So that's we're good to go now.
That's okay. That's okay. Jen, thanks for reading the news.
You're very welcome.
Great stuff. Bryce, let's go to you first, mate. What's your view on them stories?
Yeah, I saw Elo. I haven't tried it or anything, but I thought it was a pretty weird interface. It looks weird anyway. I haven't actually been on it, but for a bunch of designers, I don't know. I don't like the interface personally.
It's still in beta, so there's some new features coming.
Yeah, but and also their claim that it's going to be ad-free, I don't buy it. I think personally what their strategy is that it's going to try and bring everyone on board. They want to make, you know, a quick gain, and they probably are hoping that Facebook will acquire them just to shut them up. Because you need ad revenue. I mean, no one's going to buy it. They're talking about add-ons and stuff, you know, but no one's going to buy it on a social network. It's unlikely, at least not enough to support the server costs. You know, it can get into the millions. I mean, they need money at some point. So I think probably, you know, the subtext to this is that they probably want to get as many people on, shake Facebook up a bit and hope that they get acquired, because I don't know how they're going to keep going as a business with no ad revenue and some cheap add-ons, because you know it's going to get costly eventually. The other thing was, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but the Unbox Therapy 6 Plus, the Ben video, it's gone like 37 million views in 3 days. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and my thoughts on the Alibaba IPO, it's pretty interesting that the shareholders actually have a claim to a company in the Cayman Islands. They're not actually buying into the Alibaba company due to China's policy on foreign ownership. So they're actually buying a company in the Cayman Islands, which has a claim to Alibaba's assets. So there's a bit of risk in that with people buying into Alibaba.
Mm.
But yeah, those are my thoughts.
What about the iPhone 6 Plus bending issue, Bryce?
I'm still waiting for my 6 Plus, but to be honest, I'm kind of thinking twice about it, because I don't necessarily want to get into another crappy phone, because I don't know. To me, the iPhone 5 wasn't that great, but you know, hopefully the 6 Plus will be all right. I personally like the Galaxy Note, so I thought it would be pretty cool. But
yeah,
now they're talking about bending and.
Well, it's only happened with 9 phones, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but also the screen size is a bit big, and I've heard of, I guess anyone who's ever seen it, they say it's huge, and I don't know, it's kind of putting me off. I should probably go and have a look in person, but I just haven't had the time.
You know, there's a new story that just came out on Consumer Reports where they put it under stress test, and it didn't bend until it had 90 pounds of pressure.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
So I think it makes me think that Samsung has been doing dirty tricks.
Yeah, probably.
And Apple have also released a video where they've been, you know, they actually showed people their own center that they used to stress test it, and they've been, you know, thumping it and crunching it. And now, I mean, it's Apple, so they could be on the other side of it, not, you know, wanting to show. But yeah, it seems that I think the social media, it's sort of got a life of its own. And I kept arguing with people, saying, well, if you grab a phone and you try and force it, yes, it will bend. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like if I get a brick and I throw it at the windscreen of my Ford Focus, I'm not going to call up Ford and say, look at that smashed windscreen, what's going on? I mean, it's the same sensibility as what they're trying to prove at the moment.
I've heard rumors that the Samsung Note 4 is very slippery, and if you hold it while you're peeing, it falls in the toilet, and then it's no good anymore.
What does Robert Scoble think about his new phone, Keith? Has he said much about it?
He loves the big one. He loves it.
Absolutely loves it. He's been posting on Facebook how happy he is with it. I mean, he's been very much annoyed that it's taken them so long to get a big phone.
What yeah. phone?
Yeah. iPhone 6 Plus.
6 Plus, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Keith, what's your view on them stories, mate? Do you want to say anything?
Well, the Alibaba's interesting. You know, I've done a lot of work in China, and most Chinese companies that list outside of China list in Hong Kong. And the ones that list in the US, they're almost always either Cayman Islands or British Virgin Islands domiciled entities, where the stock that you own is in this offshore entity, and that's so that the people involved can make money without having it all locked up in China. So I don't think there's too much to be concerned about with the fact that it's Cayman Islands. I think that's just normal for Chinese companies. Alibaba is a phenomenon. I mean, Jack Ma is clearly a very driven guy, and he's built something which looks like Amazon, eBay, and a bunch of other things, all Yahoo, all mixed together in a single massive company. They raised $21 billion, which is unheard of. And it means that most other companies in the US who are lining up to do an IPO are pulling their IPOs or slowing them down because there isn't any cash left in the market to go into other offerings. So it's massive. And it really is symptomatic of China's importance in the world these days. And, you know, that's only going to get more so.
All right. Steve, Chatterbox Live, what about you, mate? What's your view on them stories?
It's a few stories. I don't know who mentioned about the Elo about. That was actually a very interesting point he put up about Elo. Possibly they're trying to be acquired by, Facebook or another social networking site. And it really made me think, if you get millions of people to join, the bandwidth and server costs would be phenomenal after a while. So, that, of course, I didn't even think about that, but that was a good response. And, of course, with the iPhone Ben Gate thing, I believe that was really blown out of proportion. I think originally it started on Mac Rumors, which I frequent all the time, and there was a few posts about the iPhone bending there. And then somebody on YouTube did his video, which went viral, and, of course, all the news media picked it up. Yeah. And, of course, everybody now thinks that the iPhones bend really easy.
Well, anyway, it's going to bend if you put a lot of pressure on it.
Yeah, because it's a large – it's really – physics has something to do with it as well. Mm. A larger – the larger screen phone you get, yes, it is thinner. It is aluminum. But as long as you, take care of your device, it should last you a long time. And of course, all these people are now making videos breaking their iPhones.
Yeah.
Because yes, if you put all the force you can on it, will break, and it's really senseless doing that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, any other comments, Steve?
I think there was one more, and the iPhone Mafia. And this came up before. This is before they sold the iPhone in China. Of course, we had people from China or even people already here, Chinese coming in. They were actually grabbing all the iPhones they could so they could sell them over in China for really big profits. And of course, that wouldn't make them available for people here in the United States and some other places. And then, of course, now they're releasing them in China now. But for this release, it has been delayed, so of course now we're up to the same thing again. We got people waiting in line. We got the handoff with the scalpers and the money paid and the whole thing. 9 yards all
crazy.
Over again. Not a surprise, really.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Andrew? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Yeah, look, there's some good stories this week. Obviously, just with the iPhone 6 Plus and the bend gate, it's kind of interesting. It came out and there was one guy who said that he went to a wedding and was dancing and it was bent in his pocket, and everyone was like, wow, that's interesting. But there were really no follow-on stories. I mean, Apple have said there's 9 people who've contacted them. So I think that might be a storm in a teacup in the end, that one. And Alibaba, really great to see what they're doing, and it's that's such a massive concern, and what that's done to to Yahoo. It's going to be really interesting to see where Yahoo end up out of this, because, I mean, there have been a few articles out this week that have basically said that Yahoo's entire valuation is based on the fact that they own Alibaba shares. So if that's the case, all they are is a bunch of people spending money and not actually generating or creating anything, which I don't think that's the case, but you know, it's an interesting one to ponder for sure.
Yeah,
what... it's been such a bad week for Apple with the 8.01.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Release. We got lucky over here in Australia because we were all asleep while our American friends were, you know, screaming and carrying on about that. We woke up, read it, and said, "I'm staying away from that update." it's been an interesting week in tech, and great that Samsung have launched their Note 4 and Note Edge in Australia. So really interested to see how they go with those devices.
Have you moved to Optus yet, Andrew, from Vodafone?
I have not. It's been a very, very busy week. I need to move across. It's on my to-do list. I've got until the 10th of October to do it until I get hit with the new month's bill from Vodafone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool, man. Hope it happens soon. Okay, let's go to who else? Jennifer, what about you?
Well, in regards to Elo, I have been playing around a lot with it, and I really do enjoy the minimalist view and the no ads, and I was just kind of reading a little bit more about that, and they're saying that their entire structure is based around a no ad, no data mining policy, and it says, quite frankly, were we to break this commitment, we would lose most of the Elo community, including ourselves, because we dislike ads more than anyone else out there, which is why we built Elo in the first place. They're saying to make this crystal clear to everyone that they put a delete account link on everyone's user settings page. So if they don't like the direction they're going in, they can always delete their account. They are saying that very soon they will begin offering features to their users. And if they create a special feature that someone likes, that you can choose to pay a very small amount of money to add it to your Elo account forever. So it looks like maybe what they'll do is have some added features. And then if someone wants that, you can pay some money for that and get that added feature. So perhaps that's the direction that they're going in.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Cool. The one weird thing is that they have they've done it as a web thing, not as a mobile thing. Because you would think that the web's kind of done for this kind of stuff.
Well, I've actually used it on my iPhone yesterday and works perfect.
Can you post? Because I cannot seem to post from my phone.
Yeah,
I tried.
Yeah, I did. I made one yesterday saying I posted from my iPhone 6.
Interesting. I can't. I'll try it on the iPhone. I couldn't do it on my Android for some reason.
Yeah, no, it works on the phone fine. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see some. I'm sure we'll see some mobile apps for it. But it is interesting that they went with web first. You're right, Keith.
Okay. Steve, what about you from Adelaide? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Well, the Allo one caught my attention because I joined up through the week mainly just to grab my namespace. You know, the usual habit, something new comes out, you just like to get the name. That's why I've got at Steve Davis on Twitter. I missed out on Facebook because there's a Steve Davis in the southern USA who beat me when I was going for that. So on Facebook, I'm the real Steve Davis.
Oh, yeah.
So I just don't want to get burnt on that again. I haven't formed
damn that other Steve Davis.
I know. I'm actually reading Jack Reacher novels at the moment. I might use some of his tactics to make that name available. So I just did that as a habit to stake the place. And when I get a moment's space, I'll have a look and see if it works for me. Because my day job, I'm actually a marketer, and I teach small business people how to make use of different social media tools in the mix. So I've got to be, like you guys with tech, I've got to be keeping my eye on these sorts of things. I still think it's very new, and it's in that tech space at the moment. I'll just watch it and see what happens.
Okay. And Steve, did you get the new iPhone?
I have the 5S. One of my trio, Colin from the podcast, he got one first day. And we actually, this week on our show, we had a guy, Richard Pascoe, who's the Adelaide tech guy. And the two of them are just annoying, just, you know, comparing them.
Oh, wow.
And really just on and on and on. I had to cut most of that out of the show. He was really happy with it, though. And he loves the fact that his iPad now rings, this is the iOS 8, when his phone rings, and happy Larry. Mm. He's
yeah, good.
The whole...
That's a good feature, that actually. Good feature.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Andrew, did you update to iOS 8, the update yesterday? Or?
I have not done any update yet. iOS 8.0 is doing reasonably well for me, and I thought I'm going to wait a couple days before I do 8.02 just in case. So it seems like it's okay. So I'll probably do the update this weekend, but I was waiting off just to make sure it was fine.
Okay. And Keith, and what have you been up to, mate, last time we spoke?
I have I've been busy. A lot of our companies at Archimedes Labs have launched new products. So there's a company called Downtown that just launched an iBeacon implementation in restaurants and cafes and bars. They basically put a beacon under every table. And when you sit down, your phone knows which table you're at and in which restaurant or bar you're in. The menu comes up, you order, they bring it to you, you eat and drink and leave, and you pay as you leave without having to do
That's
anything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I want to go to that restaurant, these restaurants.
Yeah, me too.
It's called, it's called Cooper Cafe, which is in Palo Alto. That's the first place they're live, and another one called John's Cafe. And they're adding about two bars a week now.
What's the name of it again?
Downtown App.
Downtown App.
Downtown.
So
oh,
if you, in the US App Store, if you search for Downtown, it comes up first, all one word.
What sort of food do they sell, Keith?
It's basically it's a Costa Rican coffee shop that sells Mediterranean lunches as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the best coffee in town. It's awesome, and everyone goes there. All the startups go there. All the VCs go there. It's very visible, and it's fantastic because there's always a line. So now I went there this morning. I sat down and had a meeting. About half an hour into the meeting, I just ordered another coffee, and it came to my table. And when I had finished, I left and I paid.
Wow.
So cool.
That's
very
cool.
So you just paid right with your phone. Does the app, I guess, store? You have to have the app on your phone then in order to dine there, I guess?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you've got to have the app on your phone for it to automatically pull up the menu.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's best if you've installed the app previously and you've put your credit card in, because if you haven't done that, you've got to do that first.
Right.
But if you've already done it, you know, once you've got the app, it's just seamless every time. It's kind of like Apple Pay, except without the NFC. You don't have to actually touch your phone to anything. You just walk out, and the iBeacon above the door knows you've left, so your phone pays.
Hey, what's your view on Apple Pay, Keith? Are you looking forward to it? Are you going to use it?
I think when it comes out? It's not a revolutionary move. It's kind of, for Apple at least, it's a little bit disappointing, because what they're doing is they're working with the existing banking system and the existing credit card system to just make it simpler. What they could have done, and this is one thing that Downtown is doing, Downtown is crediting the credit card fees back to the restaurant. So any restaurant which uses Downtown doesn't pay credit card fees. What
nice.
Downtown, so what Downtown does is it puts a 20% tip as a default, which in the States is fairly normal. And the tip gets split between the restaurant staff and Downtown. And from Downtown's set bit, they pay the credit card fees.
Okay. That's really smart.
And Apple kind of is just being pretty much status quo with Apple Pay. I still love it. It's great to be able to pay, you know, without having to go through the rigmarole. But I think it's not as good as Downtown, because it's a bit more revolutionary. And Downtown is using a company called Stripe to do the back end, which Facebook just announced that they're going to be implementing Stripe as well.
So if someone were to want, if you were a restaurant in California and you wanted to get Downtown would put you in touch with Stripe to implement the iBeacons into the restaurant?
No. Stripe is just the back end billing platform.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So that's an API. But the way it works today is Downtown actually comes in and sets it all up for you. But what they're working on is a self-service kit. So basically, a restaurant goes to the Downtown website once this is launched, says how many tables they've got. They get sent a beacon per table plus another beacon for the door with a kind of a one pager that explains how to install it. It's literally, there's a merchant app. You literally put the beacon on the phone, it registers it, and then you put the beacon on the table, and you're kind of done. Then you just have to fill in your menu and take pictures of the food. And you can be up and running in about 2 or 3 hours from it arriving, and it should be completely self-service.
I love it. Wow, I love very that. Cool. It just excites me. I guess, you know, just to see this technology in a real use case scenario like that, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very smart.
Andrew, do we have anything like that in Melbourne?
Do you know? Vegans? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, you there?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I missed that, Brett.
Do we have anything like that in Melbourne at all? Do you know, mate?
Yes, we do. I was trying to think of the name of the company. It's similar, where you can actually go in and you create a tab more so, and then it sort of bills you at the end of it to your credit card. So there are a couple of Aussie solutions. I don't actually know the name of them exactly, but it's certainly a building space. But the company that Keith's talking about, I think they've got it right. And with the way the US market works with the 20% tipping, it'll be really interesting to see how they go. But there are a couple of things out here in Australia in a similar sort of space that are really starting to do well out here.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. What about you, Darryl? What's your view on all this, mate?
That story is really interesting because it's sort of as a, you know, you can see it's the reason why Apple and also Google are moving to strong encryption to make sure that, you know, if we're all going to start using it to make transactions, that the risk of anyone hacking in, and particularly to credit card information and bank account information, is stopped. But that also lends to a story where the FBI in particular are now really upset because Apple has now announced that they won't be able to unlock phones if they're requested to by police services in the US because the encryption will be so strong. And so I think this is going to be a developing story where you're going to have the big tech companies wanting to build as strong a system as possible, and you're going to want – and the police services and FBI or the Australian equivalents and all that are going to be wanting some sort of backdoor put in because they're going to want to be able to break into phones, particularly if it's criminals or terrorism at the moment.
Yeah,
and so that's
so that, so that I mean that's an interesting thing because at Chat Center we turned on encryption about 2 weeks ago, and the first thing that happened is the U.S. Department of Justice emailed us to ask us whether we had the keys that would allow us to unencrypt a message, and just like Apple, we don't. We have not kept the keys, and that's on purpose so that we can't be held liable for what happens.
Yeah, because if somebody breaks into your server or something and gets the keys, and then so I think that's a better option for at least the consumer or the user.
But certainly the FBI, I think the chief of the FBI was speaking at some congressional hearing, was it yesterday or the other day, and he was really complaining bitterly, and so virtually he was, you know, blaming Apple and Google for why are you doing the things that is going to support terrorism, all that. But of course, nothing was mentioned about the fact that they're being locked down because of the move to use devices for financial transactions, whether it be at a restaurant or you've got your banking apps that you just want to transfer money from one account to another or pay some bills. And if you put a back door in, not only will the security services be able to access it, but it'll only be a short time before the hacker community finds the back door, and you'll end up in diabolical trouble, and there'll be a lot of lawsuits, I would have thought, flying around eventually.
Yeah. Yep. Keith, what's your view on the new Apple TV update? Have you got the new icons and stuff? What's your view on that, mate?
It's fine, but it's pretty boring. It's just a redesign, really.
Yeah.
But what they are doing, which is really interesting, is in America, one by one, they're turning channels, which are normally on cable, into apps on Apple TV.
Okay.
And increasingly, you can tune into a channel live on Apple TV. And as that happens more and more, I think you get to the point where Apple becomes a cable company, basically. And you don't need a cable subscription anymore because you can buy it from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's all streaming.
The content provider is still going to have control over, because you still have to have a subscription through
TV everywhere.
Know. Yeah, you still have to go with that cable company, paying them their money. So
you do, but how long is that going to last? Apple has all the content, and you know, Comcast and Apple pretty much have the same content, how long before Apple says, okay, well, we're a cable company as well, and charges you a la carte for what it is you want to watch. By the way, there's a great new show in the States for those of you who can get American stuff called, I think it may be in Australia as well. It's called, what's it called? It's on Sundance. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to remember it. Just a minute. It's, okay. The something woman. It's about an Israeli woman who runs a corporation. The Honorable Woman. That's it. The Honorable okay. Woman. It's an 8-part series on Sundance. It's fantastic, and it's on Apple TV here
under the TV shows section.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Oh, you can
see what Apple's doing because they did a sort of similar thing way back when Jobs put out iTunes, was that they disrupted the music industry and then took a lot of the content, you know, in the form of, you know, LPs and everything else, and then basically said, well, we can sell it all through iTunes and forced the prices down. And I can see that they're sort of quietly doing that, obviously, in the US market in particular, and they're going to sort of try and break the cable companies.
Do you have an Apple TV, Daryl?
No, I don't. It's something on my wish list is to get an Apple TV.
Yeah, you should get one, man. They're great.
But here it'll be an interesting because we still have a bit more limited bandwidth caps than what they do in the US. So hopefully that will force, you know, the big ISPs like Telstra and that to review their bandwidth caps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we really don't have caps. I mean, there are caps legally speaking, but they don't get imposed. And I use Comcast, and I think my cap is 250 gigabytes a month. And I think because I've got three kids and an Xbox and iPads and everything in the house, I think we probably use double our cap, but we never get dinged for it.
Well, Telstra do it here. I've been dinged a few times here.
Yeah, same. So I've been internet does it too. Down. Yeah, internet does it too. But I never go over my limit or whatever it is. Okay. Let's go to Steve from the Boring Adelaide podcast. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about what you do on the podcast and stuff, mate. What's tell us about the podcast?
Well, it's an hour long show that we do every week. The origin of it actually, I used to work in radio a long time ago. It's been in my blood. And in one of my little guest segments on radio I've been doing ever since I gave it up around 2001, I met a guy called Colin Long who worked in a morgue, and I was just intrigued by that. He's got a wicked sense of humor. And one day I just rang him and I said, we should do a podcast. And he came over, we had a couple of meetings, worked out what to do it on. And a common thing that we talked about was how Adelaide get slapped with the boring label so easily by you guys, by people in the eastern seaboard and some people overseas, but primarily it's a internal Australian thing. I think Canberra and Adelaide are both vying for the title of boring city. And we thought, let's do something that actually shows that if you haven't updated your view of Adelaide for a few years, there's a lot of stuff happening here. Whether it's app developers, whether it's pop-up bars happening, arts, you know, there's just stacks of stuff going on all the time. And so we thought, what do we call this? And we were recording on a Thursday night, and I remembered an old Red Gum song called One More Boring Thursday Night in Adelaide that they wrote back in 1978. So we spoke to John Schumann, who is the lead singer of the band, and he said, look, I'd love to let you use that as your theme song, but I've sold the rights. So we had to speak to the record company, and we got a quote of $1,500 a year to use the first 33 seconds of that song as our intro. I thought, blow that. A new guy joined our team who's actually a singer-songwriter, Brett Monton. We wrote our own theme song. So that's sort of a potted history of how it came about. And now we chat about wine, we chat about stories that are happening in and around South Australia. We've got the Adelaide Visa Council, which I'll tell you about in a bit. That's one of the quirky things that brings social media and Adelaide together. And we just have a whole lot of fun as we do it.
Oh, nice one. Okay. And what day do you record?
So these days, we actually record on Wednesday nights. And at my place, I've decked out my studio. And we just go through our segments. We use Skype and the Call Burner app to record guests when we have we probably have about two guests every show, and then I do the editing on Thursday morning.
Oh, nice.
And out it goes Thursday night, you know, somewhere between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., depending on how heavy the editing has to be.
Okay. Any questions, Andrew?
No questions. So my question is, why is Adelaide considered to be boring in the first place?
Well, I don't know. I think it's actually because we're a big country town rather than a capital city. I mean, we are a capital city, but we have a lot more of a big country town feel. So particularly when people from Sydney and Melbourne come to visit, their expectations are capital city, and they don't get served what you expect in a capital city. And we actually have a string of people who are substitutes when one of us isn't here. And we call them all Nigels because the first two were Nigels, and so now we just call them Nigels. And Nigel 2 is formerly a Melbournean, and he said it took him just a few weeks to readjust his thinking. Now he loves it. He loves Melbourne, but he just loves the atmosphere here. So I think it's because it's just not what people expect when they come from interstate. They've got to chunk it down a little bit. But also, to be fair, until about 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't have a lot of the breakthrough stuff that...
Where is that noise coming from?
I don't know. I'm hearing it
there's
as well.
There's a fire alarm going off at Ari from Oz.
That's Andrew. That must be Andrew. Okay, that's cool. He just muted.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's what it is. There's a lot of stuff that's happening now. We've got a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, you know, it's just starting to take place, and it's a good place to be.
Okay. Chatterbox Live, any questions?
Actually, I do. Hopefully I can find it now. I kind of wandered off the page. Supposedly there's a patron boring queen or something. Can you tell us about that? That seems kind of interesting, funny.
What was that? Sorry.
Here, let me see if I can find it. I'm on your webpage right now, and... It had like the boring queen, or your...
Oh, okay. Yes. well, Adelaide, the city, was actually named after Queen Adelaide. And what we do is we just seconded her as our late patron. So it's a very sort of English, South Australian thing to do. Because remember, we were a colony set up by the British government to be conflict-free. We were all unlike the eastern seaboards. And so we have this great love for Queen Adelaide, who's actually quite an amazing person. So what we do at the beginning of each podcast, when we drink the South Australian drink of the week, which is drawn from one of our many wineries or breweries we have, we raise our glasses and we toast our late patron, Queen Adelaide. It's that nice little Adelaide establishment tradition.
Right. Also on your website podcast, do you cover some of the? Of course, everybody, it's boring, you know. I guess some people consider it boring, but you actually bring about some of the stuff that's going on, like events, museums, or anything located in that area.
Yeah, well, look, we've got a bit of a format to the show. After our wine, we talk about. Any stories without notice of things we've picked up that are happening around the place. We have a song every week from a South Australian-based artist. There's so much good music being produced here. It's phenomenal. And then touching on what you're talking about, we actually monitor Twitter in particular for anyone who's talking about Adelaide and saying Adelaide's boring or not boring. And we have a segment called the Adelaide Visa Council. And what we do in this is we have three people before us every week that we've scooped out of Twitter, and we talk about the tweets they've shared where they're, you know, making these claims. And we act as a mini judiciary, basically, and we decide whether or not we should grant them an Adelaide visa, whether we should reject their Adelaide visa, or put them on a watch list if they're in that sort of shaky middle territory. And we've found that it's actually brought a lot of people into our community. We had Adelaide United Soccer Club, or football, I think we're meant to call it. We found one of the chief guys in their fan squad saying how boring Adelaide was when he was talking to some soccer fans in Newcastle. And so we hauled him before the council and we decided that because of the role he has in our community, that's probably not good. And so we had to reject his visa. And through the week, he was popping up on our radar with all these tweets about how Adelaide's the most amazing place to bring your family up and all the gorgeous stuff that goes on here. And his friends were tweeting him saying, what the heck are you on? His name's Ed Trin. And he said, I'm trying to get my visa back. And so we had him up the next week and we were able to reinstate his Adelaide visa because he had seen the light. He'd corrected his pathway and he was back on the straight and narrow. And so that's the sort of road to Damascus that we forced upon him. And he's been great. He's fed us leads ever since. And the beautiful thing that I love is it expands our network. Because the whole reason newspapers like mentioning people's stories when they do suburban-based stories is they know that person's going to go out and buy a few copies and share them around with their friends, and we take that same approach through the Adelaide Visa Council.
Well, Vincent Brown got me on to your podcast, Steve. That's how I found out about the podcast.
Ah, Vin. Yeah, look, he's been a listener, I think, since our first episode, and a great fan of our show. He's an excellent man. Love him. In fact, he now features on our website.
Okay.
We've got a banner on the front, and he sent us a message one day saying, this is the best podcast produced in Adelaide. You can quote me on that. And I thought, well, that's good enough for a testimonial banner for the front page.
Yeah.
I saw that banner. I thought it was awesome. I was like, hey, there's Vin. So...
We got a question from the chat room. It says, if you think Adelaide is boring, what do they class Perth? I don't know. That's what he said in there.
Look, well, it's one thing we keep a very strict discipline about. Because we've had to live with that label for so long, we try not to dish it out on anybody else. So we won't ever say anything bad about other cities and places. We like to think we're a bit more enlightened, having dealt with it the other end. We don't dish it back.
Okay.
All right, Bryce, any questions for Steve?
No.
Okay. All right. Daryl, what about you, mate? Any questions?
Yeah, I was interested that I live in a rural community, so I'm the last person to be calling anybody else boring. But I was interested because I always considered, Adelaide was always, for me, the city of churches. I mean, that was basically its slogan, but I hadn't really considered it to be a boring place. I mean, in football terms, Australian rules football terms, Crow Eaters and various other things, it's always been a rivalry between Victoria and South Australia and Adelaide. But, I've never considered it a boring place. But it's great that there's a podcast that's really pushing Adelaide.
Yeah, well, look, we've had some fun talking about that too. We've spoken to Alexandra Frost. She's one of the better-known psychologists in town, just to talk about what is it in going on in people's minds when they label anything boring. And that was actually a really interesting show. And we've talked to the Adelaide Lord Mayor and about what he does when he gets confronted by that slogan. But you're probably right. Not everybody has come across that label. It was just one of the things that was always important to me is we had to make sure we had a niche or a lens to focus our energies through. And I think this gives us that great lens because we are never short of stuff to talk about. And that's because we're just working through a focus the whole time. And we don't always talk about Adelaide, but there's got to be that common link in some way, shape or form. And playing around with the boring thing and juxtaposing it against what we think is the reality is fun. And plus, we've also got the state manager of Yelp, who, Chloe, she asked us last December if she could do a segment on the show. And so she takes us 1 week every month around some of the stuff that we didn't even know was going on in our own city and using her Yelpers' feedback to give us some extra insight. So there's a bit of community thing happening here.
All right. Any other more questions? For Steve, before we wrap up. Andrew, are you there, mate?
Yes, I am, Brad. Sorry about that interruption.
That's all right, mate.
We had a small fire here in the kitchen.
Oh, really? Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm actually at a friend's house. Everything's under control now. So small little mishap on grand final day, but those things happen. I do have a question, actually. I don't know if you've... I actually just missed some of that, but I mean, the things that I... I guess I'd want to ask is, Boring Adelaide, I really love the name. Do you get people asking you constantly about why that name and why do you think Adelaide is boring?
Yes, absolutely. And that was done on purpose too. It's a provocative name, especially for, I mean, we've had talks with Tourism South Australia and Adelaide City Council, and they approach us with care because they have no idea at first. They might think, are we just backstabbing our own city? But in fact, we're just using that to get some cut through and get that what moment. And then we can actually explain to them, we're actually arguing Adelaide's not boring. But in fact, if you name something, you diminish its power. And so we really, the motto for us behind the scenes is, you actually think this is boring. I think you actually need to redefine the word boring because, you know, we're not bored. There's so much good stuff happening here.
Absolutely. I think the name is brilliant and it does exactly what it should do. You know, when I first heard about Boring Adelaide, it was like, well, hang on. And it made me go and look and understand and work it out. And that's what you want. You want people to engage with you. And that's obviously the first step to get their interest. So it's great as far as that's concerned. And Adelaide, the city, I've got my mother-in-law lives in Adelaide and we're up there at least 3, 4, 5 times a year. It's a beautiful place. Like when you go out to the hills and you go out into the wine regions, it's such a lovely place to go. We went to the German area called again?
Harndorf.
Yeah, we spent a day out at Harndorf. There is nothing like that in the world. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
And actually, just picking up on that with the way it grabs your attention, I have the guy at 5AA, which is probably the only commercial talk station we've got. He had me on just when we started on a Sunday night to talk about our show, and he's had me on ever since. So we actually get about a half-hour chat every week on free-to-air radio talking about what's in our podcast. But the first night I was on, the lights on the switchboard went nuts with people saying, how dare you call Adelaide boring, and really got their knickers in a knot. He got a letter through the week from a lady who thought it was disgusting. And since then, I think it's sorted itself out. Now I'm a regular part of the program. But it had that same visceral reaction in people, which I love.
Absolutely. And they'll be telling their friends, did you hear about this thing called Boring Adelaide? Isn't that horrendous? And they'll be searching and checking and doing all those sorts of things.
And also, it's also an insurance policy for us because if we ever get a review and people say, I've listened to the podcast and it's boring, we say, well, it's true to label.
You know? Very good.
So, Steve, what's your favourite spot in Adelaide to go to every day, or favourite thing about Adelaide you like?
Well, strangely enough, I rediscovered our city centre last weekend. There's a place called the River Torrens, which runs through the city just near the festival centre and the new Adelaide Oval. And it's just grassed parklands with a river. It's got these boats on it called Popeye. And I was walking there with my family, and it was beautiful. It was another gorgeous day. Grass was green. There was pelicans. There were ducks. We had a black swan paddle along beside us as we were walking on the side of the river. We were going past people with all sorts of languages and accents, lots of tourists wandering around. And they've paid attention to the landscaping. To me, that was superb. But the weekend before, I went to a suburban birthday party for one of my nieces in a park. And next to it, in the middle of suburbia, is a winery, Patriti Wines. I had no idea we had a winery right in the suburb. And it was beautiful wine. They do everything on premise. And they actually pick their grapes from vineyards that still exist in parts of our southern suburbs. So I discover new stuff all the time, and that was just one that will stay with me because I grew up around those vineyards when I was a kid in the Marion area. For anyone who's listening in who's a former South Australian, they'll be able to picture those vineyards. And they're just making and exporting heaps of wine from suburbia.
All right, Steve, so where can they get hold of you, mate, if they want to get hold of you and ask you any more questions about the podcast?
Yep, anytime. Boringadelaide.com.au is the website. On Twitter, we're pretty active at Boring Adelaide. We've got a Facebook page, the same.
Yep.
And all comers welcome. And if you ever want to get featured on the show, just tweet sometime mentioning the word boring or the word Adelaide in the same tweet, and you'll be hauled before the Adelaide Visa Council, and and we'll give you a good working over.
All right, we'll do that. She'll do that. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time for being on, mate. And, yeah, it's great, great, great podcast.
And likewise, back to you guys. I listen to you as I travel around, and you keep me up to date with
thank you.
Tech stuff.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Andrew, you want to mention anything before we go, mate?
No, just if you are in Australia, enjoy Grand Final Day, and we hope that you are enjoying new iPhone toys if you've gone out and bought that this week, and you know, enjoy your weekend, enjoy some time, spend it with family, and we'll catch you guys next weekend.
Where can they get hold of you, mate?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me on Zafo, the Zafo app or the Rewind app, and you can also get me on Facebook or Twitter at Cunning Drew.
Okay, cool, mate. What was that announcement you want to mention?
No, haven't got an announcement just yet. I'm just got a couple of opportunities that have come my way, so I'll certainly be letting you guys know about that in the future.
Okay, let me know. You can get me on Twitter at Brad. I was on Tech Webcast. Bryce, what's your final view of the show, mate? You enjoyed being on here, mate?
Yeah, it was a very good show. You can find me on Twitter at BILSDA57. Yep. And also now, thanks to Brad, I'm on Elo as well.
Okay.
So, also BILSDA57.
Good name, mate. Good name. So you're going to get the iPhone 6 this week, maybe, Bryce?
With a bit of luck, yep.
Okay, cool, definitely, mate. So, yeah, well, I don't think it will bend for you, mate, because, you know, you know, I don't think it will bend. I hope it doesn't.
yeah,
I think it will. Steve, what about you, Chatterbox Live? What about you, mate?
First of all, I don't find Adelaide boring. I think it's very interesting. And don't forget also, I believe they also released the Samsung Note 4, I believe, and the Edge.
Yep.
Note 4 Edge, too.
Yep.
For
yep.
people in Australia.
Definitely. Okay.
Oh. And you can find me at on Twitter as Chatterbox_Live.
Okay. And what about you, Daryl?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show again. It's
no
been
problem, mate.
Really enjoyed it. I'll be going and watch the grand final on TV.
Yep.
A bit hard to get a ticket to get down to Melbourne. But
yeah.
So you can find me at Learnscape on Twitter, or just type in Daryl Hunt on Google+.
Okay.
That's where I sort of hang out.
Did you know, Daryl, that the you can't watch the actual grand final in HD, mate? It's not going to be broadcast in HD.
Yeah, I mean, Channel 7 are just crazy. They haven't,
no.
They haven't been broadcasting virtually any of the games this year in HD.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we all got these digital television sets.
That's it, mate.
We've all got HD, and they won't put it in HD.
That's it, and that's why I
for the grand final.
That's why I have Foxtel. That's why I have Foxtel, Daryl. You know, you get every game in HD on Fox Footy, mate.
Yeah, well, but we just had to change our. I don't know whether you guys have done it in your parts of Australia yet, but we just had to change the TV frequencies. Our time came up on the 24th, so
okay.
We all had. So I spent one afternoon resetting about 10 televisions for friends.
Oh wow!
So I was worn out.
Get on you, mate. Bryce, what's your view on the HD situation, mate? With the AFL, do you watch AFL much?
No, not much, but I have Foxtel, so like you said, pretty much everything is in HD.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's why I pay Foxtel. You know, you get your money's worth with the AFL, I reckon. You can.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Jen? What's your final view of the show?
I thought it was a fantastic show. Great different news stories and wonderful conversation, and the boring Adelaide podcast. If Vin Brown says is great, I need to check that out.
Oh, you do, Jen. Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah,
great show.
I look forward to listening to you, definitely.
Yeah, and also check out the station in Adelaide too. I can't remember the name of it now. Coming the name. Triple Z or something like that. It's in Adelaide or something.
When you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah, I will. It's a good station, yeah.
Yeah. And where people can find me online, they can find me at jenniferruggiero.com. All of my social links are there. I haven't put the Elo link on there yet, so my Elo link is elo.co/JRUGGIERO. So JRUGGIERO. And also check out my podcast, getnerdywithit.com. So thanks for a great show tonight, Brad.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being on. And hopefully Jada will be back very soon, hopefully.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, I haven't heard from her for a while, but hopefully she'll be back very soon. Andrew, anything else you want to mention, mate? You going to go watch the grand final?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've got to go and do a few things. I think there's still a few things here at the house that need a little bit of a clean up. So
who are you going to go for?
I think Hawthorne today, to be honest.
Hawthorne, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, mate. I'll catch up with you.
See you later, guys.
All right.
See
you. Thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!